pressing question of the day. Who wins the lottery number one pick tonight?
Ooh, yes. Very exciting. I really hope that it's not any of the teams 8 through 15. I'm going to go with the Sens tonight, Greggs. I think Ottawa, with that 25% chance, I think they pull it off.
So why don't you want it to be one of the 8 to 15?
Just so we don't have to go into phase 2 of the draft lottery and then potentially phase 3 of the draft lottery and try to crunch the numbers. It's a personal thing. Me and Math, we don't get along necessarily. And I just figure if today the first overall pick is determined, we don't have any more confusion. Tom is a happy guy going into the weekend on this positive Friday.
Well, dude, I can tell you, your math, this is pretty simple. If one of the 8 to 15 teams, if one of those positions wins, all that happens is the 8 teams that lose in the qualifying round go into a lottery. Everybody's even with a 12.5% chance. First name out wins.
I see.
It's that easy.
Okay. Well, when you break it down like that, that's why I have friends like you.
Yeah. So I actually, to me, I'm the opposite. I want carnage. I would love to see like two of the picks come from 8 to 15 because you don't know. Then all of a sudden they're like, well, I don't even know who's picking there. It's like the mystery teams. And so it keeps the intrigue going. And then what it does is the second lottery becomes, you know, when it's even, it becomes even more exciting for those 8 fan bases.
I can't argue that. I like the carnage theory, and that would be fantastic entertainment. I know in my heart, I'll just roll my eyes and go, oh, no. What if people throw questions at me about this draft lottery? And I'm like, I don't know where it's going with these things. So I'd have to just send them your way and direct all their questions to you. But let's see how it plays out. I'm going with the Sens. Looking at my crystal ball, I think they win it tonight.
Okay, that's fair. Well, you can direct them. We did put an article up at Oilers Nation today, Tommy. It just came out before our show, outlining the possibilities of the draft, what to look for, everything else. We also, because I got a good question asked by a guy on Twitter, and so I told him I'd ask him in the article, because people were wondering, well, what happens in overtime, right, in the qualifying rounds, and how much of a concern is it? And I was like, okay, that's a valid question. So I went back over the last 5 years of the NHL playoffs, and I looked at the first round of the playoffs and the first 5 games of the first round, because games 6 and 7 are irrelevant because this is the best of 5.
Right.
Right. And so over the last 5 years, there's been a total of 42 overtime games within the first 5 games. So an average of 8 per year.
Okay.
But only 8 of them have gone to double overtime, which means on average 1.6 games per postseason over the last 5 years will go to double overtime within the first 5 games of the first round. And it's crazy because 2017 and 2015, we had 16 and 10 overtime games in those 2 years. And the other 3 years combined only had 16. Right? So it was kind of interesting how, for whatever reason, in 2017, it was overtime-a-rama. Remember, the Oilers actually lost their first game that year in OT, then came back and won the series. But Melker Carlson scored in game 1 against for the Sharks against the Oilers. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting one, but it doesn't seem like it's that massive of an issue. But I did get a text today that the NHL is considering and looking at a schedule that would have 5 games per day split between the 2 hubs.
Ooh.
Meaning those seeding games, because, you know, they're only playing 3 games each. They can spread those out and then limit the ice in a hub city. Like, let's say Monday, let's say Edmonton and Vegas are the hub cities. In Monday, you would have 3 games in Edmonton, 2 games in Vegas. On Tuesday, you'd have 2 games in Edmonton, 3 games in Vegas. Right? And so you could split that up and just stretch out those 3 games of the seeding a few days to allow you potential better TV times.
I like that. I mean, and the other thing too with this potential scheduling thing is you're going quick. Like, it's efficient. You're getting through these games, a little bit of downtime between teams playing one another again. As for the overtime, I know that the seeding ones for the top 4 in each conference, I know it's just regular season type of OT, but I love the playoff format OT for the qualifying rounds. I don't know about you, and anytime I see a playoff game go to OT, I love it. It just the intensity's amped up. You're on the edge of your seat, and I love that concept of it, to be honest with you, Greg. So if we see overtime or Rama or just crazy amounts of overtime in the qualifying round, I'm all for it. I really, really love the suspense of playoff format OT.
Oh, I love it. Who doesn't love it? And so if you go to overtime, that just, for the length of games, you're talking 1.6. It's now the because if it goes to just one overtime game, one overtime period, that's not really stretching it out. It would extend it a little bit, but not a massive amount of time. So it is a concern. I don't think it's a major concern for the NHL at this point. Anyway, now
there's
an interesting one: Indianapolis 500. They are going to run with 50% fan capacity. What do you think of that?
This is interesting because we're seeing the crazy uptick in COVID-19 cases across the states. And I know that Indianapolis Motor Speedway, they say it can hold up to 300,000 people. And these tracks are massive. They're like mini cities. I remember driving by the Vegas Speedway, the Texas Motor Speedway. There's one in Texas. Honestly, Gregor, it looks like a little city when you drive by it. So I know how huge they are. But even cramming, say you get 100,000 to 150,000 people in there and they're practicing social distancing. You're outside where the conditions are favorable. It's not recirculated air or anything like that. You got to think that you're just amping up the risk for a ton of people when this thing is running rampant. And that's what surprised me. This isn't like New Zealand where a week or two ago they were playing in front of packed crowds, their new rugby mini tournament that they're doing because the Super League or whatever is on hiatus as of right now. But in New Zealand, they've contained COVID, and it's obviously an island. They've done a great job there. But we're talking about the U.S., we're talking about motorsports, which is fantastic, and it's good to see that, you know, NASCAR is running right now and all that. And I understand the scale of these buildings, but you put 150,000 potentially into this relatively small area. To me, at first, at least, it feels like you're playing with fire. Am I wrong to kind of think that when I see this news today?
Tom Gazzola joins us in the Chronicles on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Now, this is, you know, scheduled for late August, right?
Sure.
So, you know, that's 2 months from now. So they have the ability to want to change because this was originally runs in May, right? But then they bumped it back to August 23rd. And you're right, because at 50% capacity, that still could be like 125,000 people.
Yeah. So it's a small city.
Yeah. So I don't, I don't know. You know, some people would go. There's no question about it. There's going to be a lot of people like, hey, you know what? I just want to go to a social gathering. And I do understand that mindset for sure. And in 2 months from now, hey, maybe things will be different and things will have slowed down. So we'll see. There'll be some people that says, no, thanks. Or others will be like, yeah, I'm going, but I'm wearing a mask. Right? Like, I wonder if they did that, if they would make masks mandatory.
They also have like 78,000 in terms of pre-sale tickets. Like they have, almost like a season ticket thing. And I know they had Richard Penske on NBC Sports and he was talking about it because he owns the track. And so they're already trying to figure out of their season ticket holders, how many people want to show up. They want to tell people 65 plus maybe to sit this one out until the vaccine comes out, hopefully by the end of this calendar year. And then here's the other thing on top of that. Apparently during the Indy 500 weekend on the infield, they throw a EDM, like, party-slash-concert type thing, and it brings in, like, 30,000 people. Obviously, that's been put off, but I'm just looking at that, and I'm going, you know, you really are. You might be asking for it by bringing that many people in. I know it's a racetrack, again, open air, but I don't know. And you're right. There's a little bit of time to work with this. Maybe things get so bad that they just say, hey, listen, we're going to run the race in front of very limited numbers, like 5,000-10,000 people, like NASCAR has kind of been doing lately. But man, oh man, you look at them kind of pushing forward even at 50%, and you go, I don't know if this is such a great idea, but good luck.
Yeah, it's very kind of unique at this point. Now, another unique sports story is the Tulsa soccer team replaces the national anthem with "This land is your land." What do you think about that? The semi-pro national premier soccer league, they're not going to play the U.S. national anthem at their home games and will instead play the song "This Land Is Your Land" as its designated song of patriotism.
This is interesting. You know, with everything that's going on, you look at this and you think, all right, I mean, you want to appease everyone. You want to quell what's going on in the nation, and that's totally understandable. But the other interesting part about this is that there's a line in the Star Spangled Banner that is very rarely sung, and it has to do with slavery. And you're just like, first of all, I didn't know that verse/small line was even in the Star Spangled Banner. You never hear it. And secondly, you know, usually hear "God Bless America" at like a ball game or other sporting events. I've seen it at hockey games. I think in Philly when the Oilers were playing in a matinee game there, when I was down there covering with for Oilers TV, we heard "God Bless America," but they're going with "This Land Is Your Land." I don't know. Like, what would you replace "O Canada" with?
Well, I'll say this, Tommy. Here's the thing, and I've long argued that do we have to play the national anthem at sporting events? I can see, because at sporting events now, you have so many athletes that aren't from that country, whether it's the U.S. or Canada for hockey or basketball or baseball, right? The NFL, you know, maybe, but, you know, because they have predominantly American players, right? That might be one of the top, well, that's the only one of the major four for sure that has that high percentage of Americans. They're not all, but they just have a higher percentage of it. And I felt like, you know, at the Olympics, it makes sense because everybody there is representing their country. And I think it makes sense, but I could see things changing. Some people won't like it, but I could see things changing slowly over time where some organizations will choose not to play it. Others will choose to play something different. It'll take a long time, but I think you'll slowly start to see smaller ones. And it'll likely start at a lower level like at Tulsa, but this won't surprise me if you see other places either choose not to play it or play something different.
I never, ever questioned or thought twice about why a national anthem or both anthems were played before sporting events. I just thought that was the way it was until the Kaepernick thing a few years ago. And it came out of World War II. You know, it's a patriotism thing. And when I, you know, you read about that and you take a step back, it's like, why do we play the anthem before sporting events for pro sports? And I'm with you. Like, it really wouldn't bother me. I love our national anthem and I love our country, but before the game, if they decided to stop doing it because it creates a lot of controversy, I'd be like, I get it, I understand. But it never dawned on me once, because I just always thought that was the way it was. But now you get to the point where you think about it and go, why are we doing this? Okay, so I kind of get that movement, and where we're at right now makes sense, I guess.
Tommy, have yourself a wonderful weekend, and you're taking Ottawa to now. But which pick, like Ottawa number two, Ottawa number three? You can't just take Ottawa; it's the best odds.
Well, I mean, I figured with 25%, they're going to just win it, and we're going to be done with it, easy breezy, and then we can look forward to the draft in August or whenever it is, and not have to worry about phase two, phase three of these drafts, and worry about phase two, phase three, and phase four of return to play and. Just keeping it simple, all on track. That's at least a little bit of a look into how I look at things, Greg.
Tommy, have a great weekend. We'll chat with you on Monday.
Sounds good. You too, Greg.